If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, we'll be taking our text from tonight on a message I've titled Holy Ghost Conviction, John chapter 16. I want to look at verses 7 through 11, Lord willing, tonight. John chapter 16, when you get there, if you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 16, verse 7. And here the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I'm asking now that you help me for just a few minutes to be able to expound on this text, God, to do some good work here tonight through your holy word. And Lord, may you be the one that's glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Holy Ghost conviction. If you underline things in your Bible, underline verse 8. I've got it all underlined there. It's all good. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. As we look at this text, we all know what's going on here. This is a text we read over and over and over. I personally read this many times throughout the year because I love those words that Jesus has for his disciples right after they have that we call it the Last Supper. And he tells them he's going to be betrayed, and they're all confused and worried and concerned. And so when he comes out there and he's speaking to them, and he gets real personal with them, and he's trying to give them some comfort. And we all know John chapter 14, you know, "You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house many mansions," and thus, and it keeps going after that. So from 14 all the way through these chapters and these verses, we see Jesus trying to give comfort to his disciples. Well, if you're saved tonight, you are one of Jesus' disciples. And so these words that he has written here, that's been penned down in God's holy word, these words apply to you. And so when you read these, just imagine, if you will, that the Lord Jesus is speaking these words to you. You see, Jesus had to go away. We all know that. He came here and lived on this earth for about 33 and a third years and never sinned, was sinless, spotless, Lamb of God. And of course, he was put to death and he was buried and he resurrected on the third day, just like he said he would. But Jesus is telling his disciples, "I'm going to have to go away." But then he tells them, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless." Look at that. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." One thing you need to be aware of tonight, the Comforter is a title of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. You can call him either one. Us Baptists, sometimes we get afraid when we hear that word ghost. Hey, don't be afraid of it. That's what the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as, is the Holy Ghost. And here his title is called Comforter. Now, when we think of that word Comforter, a lot of times we use it. I use it at funerals a lot of times. I preach out of John quite a bit at funerals, John 14 especially. And we talk about that comfort that we can give each other. But this Comforter, really, the meaning behind it is an intercessor or an advocate. And that is somebody that comes alongside with you to help you. And that's what we need tonight. We need somebody to come alongside of us to help us. Well, I know one thing. When I was 6 years old, there was one come alongside of me, to help point me to Christ. And that is what the Holy Ghost does, the Comforter here. That's one of the things that he mentions, of sin, because they believe not on me. I didn't believe in him until he come to convict me of it. I mean, I knew who Jesus was, and I'd have told you, you know, yeah, I know who Jesus is. But as for believing him in my heart that he was my Savior and that I was a lost sinner and needed to be saved by him, I didn't understand that or believe that until the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, came by and he helped me to understand that. He convicted and convinced me. And that's what that word right there means, reprove. Reprove means to convict and convince. And that is one of the jobs of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it is a person. He is a person. He's not an it. He's not just a power. He's a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And so he is a person that indwells with inside of us, comes to live with us when we get saved. When you got saved, You were baptized in the Holy Ghost. All right? We don't have to get baptized again. There's no rebaptizing of the Holy Ghost, okay? Don't worry about your charismatic friends out there that says you got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We were when we got saved. Now, we will be filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes more than other times, but there is a filling of the Holy Ghost. But we are baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is the Comforter. This is the Holy Spirit that comes by and He indwells with us. But one of His jobs before we get saved is to convict and convince us, to reprove us of our sins. Well, the problem is that man does not see sin the way that God sees sin. And when a lost man will look at sin, or he won't even recognize it as such. He may think, well, I live a little loose or a little rough, or sometimes he's made a boo-boo or an accident or an error. You know, sin is not an error or a boo-boo or an accident. Sin is breaking God's laws. And that's when you're sinning, you're sinning against God. So the Bible tells us that left on our own, well, 1 John 3 and 4 said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So you're not just slipping up when you sin. You're transgressing God's law, and there's a penalty for it. In fact, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, over in Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death. So death is the penalty for our sins. And so what are we? We're debtors to sin. That's why when we tell somebody, would you trust Jesus to pay your sin debt? Because that's what Jesus did. He came and died on the cross to pay our sin debt. Because quite frankly, there's not a person on this earth, I don't care how rich they are, Bill Gates can't afford to pay his sin debt. Only the Lord was able to pay that with His precious blood. And so we're all debtors to sin. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need to be saved. And that's why the Holy Ghost comes by to reprove us, to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, to God, souls that sin are souls that are going to die. And so we need to be saved. The problem is we don't see sin as depraved as God sees sin. If you could ever see it the way God sees it, you'd be sick to your stomach. And that's just the truth, friends. And so we need the convicting, the convincing work of the Holy Spirit here, the Comforter, to show us that we do have a sin debt to pay. There's a penalty for sin. Now, I'm afraid there's too many people today that teach and preach and think that they're the ones responsible for doing the convicting. It is not your job to convict anybody, all right? It's your job to say what God has said. It's my job to tell you what God's Word says. And so all I can do is say, thus saith the Lord, and then the Lord sends who? The Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He sends Him to reprove you of that, to convict you and to convince you that you are a sinner. So I'm not the one that does convicting. I'm simply the heralder, the one that preaches the gospel. And you as well. If you're a Christian, that's also your responsibility to herald the gospel to all the world. And so it's not your job, though, to convict them. A lot of men believe that they have to convict somebody. And they work up some kind of great emotional experience. There's a lot of that emotional experience going on today, and I don't think it's real. And there's a lot of men today that are very, very charismatic, very popular, got a large following, raking in a lot of money at their meetings, and they're working up something. They're working it up and getting everybody all excited and getting them in this mode of worship. They call it worship. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's true worship. And they get them all excited and build up, and they're all just all in it and everything. And that's a lot of these churches that are playing all the instruments and the music, and they have the flashing lights, and they've got all the stage things. They're trying to build up this emotional experience to replicate the Holy Ghost work. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's man's work. And so you can't work up the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people trying to work Him up. You can't work Him up. He's coming on His own. And so there's a lot of people today that are basing everything upon their emotions. In fact, there's a lot of people that don't think they've been to church unless they've had some kind of emotional experience. Friends, church is not about your emotional experience. It's not about how good you felt when you went. It's about what you did for the Lord. It's about what you did when you got down on your face in front of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, it may make you feel good. It may give you great emotions, but that is not what we base our religion or our spirit on. We don't base our spiritual condition on our emotions or our feelings. And you know, some people are confused about that. They say, well, I went down and I prayed, but I didn't feel like anything happened. Well, what are you expecting? Well, I was expecting birds to sing and fireworks to go off and everything else. Well, that's really not the way it usually works. You may get a great emotional experience when you get saved, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Simply salvation is receiving Christ as your Savior, believing on the finished work of Christ on the cross, believing in the gospel, repenting of your sins and to Jesus to save you. That's what salvation is. It's not some great emotional experience that you went through, or hearing bells or whistles or fireworks or anything like that. That's nothing to do with it. And so there's a lot of deception going on. There are some churches that are having outlandish things going on in their service, like theatrics, emotionally charged visuals, sound effects, trying to get people worked up. You may have heard the churches of old time that had a pipe organ that ran the pipe down the center of the church under the benches. And any time the preacher wanted to get anybody excited, all they did was hit a low bass note on the organ and get that place a buzzing. And so people started moving, and the next thing you know, they're all over the building, you know. It's like the Mississippi squirrel old Ray Stevens talked about, you know. Let him loose in the church and everybody went crazy. They thought they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with a squirrel in the congregation. And so we need to be very careful when it comes to worship. And the true conviction, the true moving of the Spirit. And we need to weigh out the Spirit. We need to check the Spirit and see that it really is what it appears to be. And so this deception like this is, we're warned about this in the Bible. Colossians 2 and 8, the Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And so we're responsible. We're not responsible for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. We are responsible for preaching the gospel that's in the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the convicting. Look at verse 7 of our text. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Again, I want to draw your attention to the fact that Jesus refers to the Comforter as him, and then he again. Him, he, in these verses we just read. A him and a he and a he. And so it's a person. It's not a it. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will reprove the world of sin. So what does he do? Well, he convinces and convicts the world of sin. That simply means when you're lost, he comes by and he starts convincing you that you're lost. I remember when it happened to me, and to me, it did give me a feeling. My heart was pounding out of my chest, if you want to call that a feeling. It was an awful feeling. And it was a realization, is what it was. It was suddenly as if the Lord, and it was the Lord had opened up my mind to understand that I was lost. Until that point, I did not understand that. I assumed because my parents were Christians and my papa was a preacher that I was probably a shoe-in to be in heaven. I never even knew that I was lost until the Holy Spirit came by and reproved me of my sin, convicted and convinced me that I was a lost sinner and needed to be saved. And so, by nature, man will deny his own personal sin. He'll deny it. But the Holy Spirit will convict and convince a sinner that he is guilty before God. And so until a lost person is gripped by the sinfulness of sin, the wickedness of their heart, and realize just exactly how bad and black that it is, then they'll never understand their need for a Savior. That's why men don't seek God. Men don't seek God. None seek me. None come after me. And so the Lord, what does he do? He come to seek and to save those which are lost. And that's me. He came and sought me out. I wasn't seeking for him. And so a lot of people today, they're seeking for religion. Or they're seeking for reformation. That's not what we need to be interested in tonight. This is why Christ said what he did in verse 9 of sin, because they believe not on me. And so we don't need a reformation. We need a transformation is what we need, to be transformed into a creature of Christ. I've known people that said under my preaching, I knew one man in particular, who every time that he came, he got sick. The Holy Ghost was convicting me. I would preach from what God's Word says, nothing I'd done, just saying this is what God says. And he would sit and fidget around and look around and grab things. And when I'd give the invitation, this man would go out on the porch and smoke a cigarette. He couldn't stand to be here. He finally quit coming, and I bumped into him one day and I said, "Hey, why have you not been in church? Where you been?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you the truth." He said, "I do want to come." He said, "But every time I do, I feel so guilty sitting there that I can't stand it." And so what did he do? He just decided he would just flee from it instead of coming and getting on his knees and repenting of his sins and trusting in the Lord Jesus. He wanted to trust in his own works. And so, you know, listen, friends, it's the wrong thing to do. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you, it's for a reason. It's to reveal to you your condition. And you've got a bad condition, a sinful condition. And to convict you of your sin so you'll repent and turn to God. I've had people duck behind me at the door. I've had people run down to Sunday school down that way and out the back door. I'm afraid one day, Brother Scott, we're going to have to replace the window. Somebody's going to go diving out the windows one day. But they'll do anything. I've seen people, I've been standing with my hand out, and I've watched them coming, ready to say something to them, and I've watched them come down through there and turn like this and walk by me. You know, like they've got something else, like they're looking at something else. When I know they saw me standing there, they didn't want to come in my presence because they knew what was going on. They were being convicted, and they didn't want to be faced with that conviction. And so, listen, friends, I want you to know, nowadays, people, when they get convicted, instead of coming to Christ and repenting of their sins, it seems they want to blame somebody for what they're going through, what kind of problem they're having. Well, that preacher down there, he got up there and started talking about all the things that I do. You know, blame it on the preacher instead of taking responsibility for their sins. Well, listen, let me tell you, if I sit under a man's preaching and I don't feel some kind of conviction, if he's not preaching from God's word and it doesn't convict me, then there's a problem right there. I want to go sit under somebody that's going to convict me. I want to sit under somebody that's telling me what God's word says and God's word go and penetrate my heart and I mean get a hold of me. And that's what I'm looking for when I hear preaching. I want to hear somebody that can preach God's word and explain it, tell you what God's trying to say here so that God, through the Holy Spirit, will start convicting my heart and working on me, saying, Brother Byron, you know you've got a problem here. You hear what he's preaching out of my word. You know you've got a problem. You need to get that fixed. And I want to feel that. And so, you know, if you come and everything's just popsicle and roses and, you know, lollipops and stuff, what good's that? We can get up here and sugarcoat it at all. Some people want to go here 6 steps to financial freedom. I don't want any of that garbage. Don't want any of it. Well, there's some pastors behind pulpits today that are afraid to preach like that. They're afraid they're going to lose their crowd. You know, they're afraid they're going to lose their cushy job or their bank account or their salary or whatever it is. Listen, friends, I'm not afraid of that. You know, if it gets too bad for you and you want to get rid of me, you're just going to have to tell me and I'll go on and go down the road. I'll go somewhere else and I'll preach whatever God's word says. The day that I can't feel comfortable to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and listen, if that bothers you, you've got a problem with the Lord. You don't have a problem with me. It's a problem with the Lord. And so men will not preach against things like drinking or cussing or laying out of church or against sodomy or fornication or shacking up or any of this stuff. They won't preach about it. Why? Because they know there's people in their congregation that's living like that and they don't want to touch on that sin because if they do, they know that they're going to be in trouble. Hey, if you're one of those that's in sin, and I say something from God's word, and it starts convicting you, you might as well just face it. You might as well repent of it and turn to the Lord to help you with it. All right? Amen. All right. 2 Timothy 2:16, Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Listen, that is my conviction, is to always be a 2 Timothy 2:16 preacher. And, you know, if you don't like that, then, you know, there's a lot of other places. But the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin, because they believe not on me, is what the Bible says. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of righteousness, is what it says. And so the Holy Spirit comes, he convicts the world that they need to be right with God. And there's a twofold application right here. The Spirit will reprove the world not only of righteousness, but their self-righteousness. The Spirit will convict you of that. Jesus spent an awful lot of time talking to those religious people, didn't he? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, all these people the Bible mentions that Jesus was always conversing with. He spent a lot of time on the religious crowd. Why? Because they were self-righteous. And so, you know, he come out one time and told them that their father was the devil. And so, John 3:20, the Bible says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so there are a couple of things you can do when the Holy Spirit starts convicting you. You can either run or you can come. Run or come to the Holy Spirit, come to the Lord to help you with this. And so, listen, nothing has changed over all these years. Men today are still trying to live a life of self-righteousness, a life of works, a life of religion. And that's what the Pharisees did. Man still has a hardened heart and refusing to be reproved. And so, listen, I would rather, stand up here and preach you the truth and it hurts your feelings than to stand up here and tell you something, tell you a lie, and try to brush it over and paint a pretty picture into what you walk out of here and go straight to hell. It's just not worth it, friends. But man today would rather kill the preacher than accept responsibility for their own sins. Everybody wants to blame everybody else for their own sins, don't they? You have the man in court come up and they talk to the lawyer or the judge, and he'll go through all of his excuses. Well, my daddy beat me. My mama left me. I was abused. I was this and that. Listen, I'm sorry for all those things that happened to you, but that don't mean you have to go and repeat it. Okay? My dad was a school teacher. That didn't make me one. If your daddy was a drunk, that don't mean you've got to be a drunk. If your mama was a drug addict, a pill head, that don't mean you've got to be one. You can change. You can do better. And so don't give me the excuses of my mother made me do it or my daddy beat me and all this stuff and all that. Listen, quit blaming everybody for your problems. Your sins are your sins. You're responsible for them. You're drunk because you want to be drunk. You're on drugs because you want to be on drugs. Or you're addicted to them. I won't say you want to be. Some people don't want to be, but they're addicted to them. They can't get off of them. And that's a sad, sad place to be. And so you're a thief because you choose to be a thief. But all these things, all these... these sins, like I just mentioned, the drunks and the drug addicts and the thieves, they make a conscious decision to do this. They start doing that. Now, it may turn into habit, and it'll be hard to break, and it'll always be there. But listen, friends, we've got to own up to it. And you know, there's a lot of people today that get mad at this kind of preaching too. Oh, they get up there and talk about the drunks and the drug acts and all that. Oh, they need to have love for them. I do have love for them. I want them to understand what the Lord can do for them. It's not another pill that's going to help you. It's not another halfway house. It's not another time spent 6 months in some rehabilitation center. It's time with the Lord Jesus. He's the one that can help you. He can come and He can take that sin away from you. And so I do love them. I want to preach in love, and I know it sounds sometimes hateful and rough sometimes, but friends, you've got to understand it. I can't sugarcoat it. And so one of the hardest people to reach are those that think their self-righteousness is going to help them get to heaven. Some work they've done, some money they spent. You know, how many times they've been in church? How many times they've gave to charity? You know, well, God, it does that. Those things are not going to convince God to let you into heaven. There's only one way into heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So there's not a one person in here today that has anything righteous about you except for what the Lord Jesus is in you. That's all you've got. It's all I've got. The Holy Spirit will reprove the world of righteousness. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The third thing, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of judgment. Judgment's coming. The Holy Spirit will convince and convict the world of the reality of the impending doom that is coming. The doom of judgment and condemnation. And so the Holy Spirit convicts and convinces the sinner of the reality of hell. Is there anybody in here that didn't have a reality of hell when they got saved? That has to be one of the most driving factors when it comes to salvation is the fear of hell. And it's real. Hell is real, just like heaven's real. Hell is real. And listen, if that's what the Holy Spirit has to do to convict and convince you that you're lost and you're headed for a place like that of torment and hell, if that's what it takes for Him to make you realize that you're lost and need a Savior, then that's what He'll do. He'll convict you because of that hell. And so He'll reprove you, reprove the world of judgment. Listen, sinners will be judged. And I want to say this as plain as I can. And if it makes you mad, it makes you mad. There's two kinds of people in this world today. There's lost people and there's saved people. And that's it. There's no in-betweens. There's no halfway saved. And so you're either saved or you're lost. There's no in-between. And when you die, when you close your eyes in death, you're going to wake up in one of two places. You're going to wake up in the presence of the Lord, just like the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Or you're going to wake up in a place of torment, awaiting the final judgment, to be cast into the lake of fire in a place called hell. Both places are called hell. The pit, the bottomless pit, it's hell. The place that you will go when you close your eyes in death, if you're lost, is hell. The ultimate hell is the lake of fire. But I want you to know tonight that you are definitely and positively on your way to a place called hell if you're not saved. If you're saved, we have assurance of heaven. And that assurance, by the way, the Bible says is eternal and everlasting. And the Bible says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so the Holy Spirit, that's another one of the works that He does. He comes and He seals us unto the day of redemption. And when we are redeemed, we reach heaven, the Lord redeems us. Why? Because we belong to Him. He bought us. He paid for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." It goes on to say in verse 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Listen, God made every way possible for you to be saved. And there is a day of judgment coming. The Holy Spirit will convince and reprove you of judgment, that day is going to come. And whether you want to believe it or not, it doesn't matter. You can say that I don't believe in the judgment all you want, but it's still real. I don't believe in income taxes, but I still have to pay them. And on April 15th, everybody's due for income taxes. And I guarantee you, you're going to have to pay the government your income taxes. And so whether you believe in it or not, doesn't matter. It's a reality. So is the judgment that's coming. And listen, the Holy Ghost will reprove the world of judgment. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Ghost didn't come here to condemn you. He come here to convince you and to convict you and to seal you with the Holy Spirit. And so if you die unsaved, it's nobody's fault but your own. The Lord made every way possible for you. And listen, God has His arms outstretched for you at all times. He's not sitting there pushing you back and pushing you away. He's always got His arms like this right here. And so when you fall into that conviction, the thing that you're to do is to go to Him. Go to Him. He's not interested in your bank account, how nice of a car you drive, how good looking you are. I'd be out if it was that. If I was that, I wouldn't have a chance. He doesn't care what you look like, even what you smell like. He's just concerned about your soul because He loves you. And you know what? The devil hates you. The devil would love to see you die and go to a devil's hell. The devil could care less about your soul, but the God of heaven loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. What about you tonight? Has the Holy Ghost been dealing with your heart at all? Do you remember the day that He came and He convicted you and convinced you that you were a lost sinner? Oh, I pray that He has. If He's been dealing with you and you need help, I want to ask you tonight to lay it down at His feet. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Listen, as Charlotte comes and gets the invitation song, I want to ask everybody in here if they'll stand, please. And if you need help with anything tonight, whatever it may be, would you come down to this altar and pray and turn it over to the Lord and let Him take care of it for you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we come to You, Lord, thanking You for the message. Lord, I'm praying for that person that may be under conviction tonight. Lord, whether it's in this building or outside of this building, Lord, they may be on Facebook watching this, maybe on YouTube, maybe listening on sermon audio, maybe on WKXV radio. God, wherever this message right now is being broadcast, Lord, if that one person, God, if You've been dealing with them, convicting their heart, Lord, would that person come to You? Lord, acknowledge their sin. Repent of it. Turn to Christ to save them. Lord, believe the gospel. Call the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved, You say. Lord, is there one? Would You help them with it tonight? Help them, Father. If you need to pray tonight at the altar, you work your way on down.